Okay, so let's we're in the middle of Pirkei Chofov, the 26th chapter. We're starting a new section of that chapter, which is on, you see Havia, right? The second page of the chapter, like the two dots, Lamed Gimel, four lines from the bottom. Just to quickly recap, so Pirkei Chofov starts. 26 starts a new chapter, a new section of Tanya. We talk about the things that stand in the way of successful serving Hashem, overcoming the Yetzer Hara. And he says we have to get rid of all sadness. Sadness is not good. Sadness, we have to be besimcha. It's the only way we can win the war, right? And then he said there is some value in real sadness, which is going to come back to today, proper sadness, which comes from Averis and so on. But even that has to be under control, and we're going to talk about that today a little bit. But the first part, so he divides sadness into like pain or anxiety or sadness, divides it into two parts. Part one is mimile de alma, from worldly matters. Part two is mimile de shmai, heavenly matters, which we'll talk about today. But just very briefly, so we talked about his whole explanation last week of material challenge and pain, which the theory there was that you have to be able to have simcha there also, because in essence it comes from good. And it comes even from a higher good, which we went through the whole thing. And then at the end, we explained that's true, but nevertheless, we still ask for revealed good. Otherwise, what's happened till now, we accept and we even have simcha, that Hashem is hugging us from a very high place, a place of darkness, which is really the higher good, divine darkness, in other words. And that's why we have simcha, we accept it, and we're able to have a munah. But we still ask for revealed good, because first of all, Hashem is a keli achal, he's omnipotent and can do everything, and therefore he can connect us from the higher space and still should be revealed good. And secondly, the main thing was that we said last week that our job is not to be hugged by Hashem, our job is to do Torah and mitzvahs. And therefore, in order to fulfill the mission that we were put here for, we asked for revealed good, so we should be able to learn Torah and do mitzvahs properly. That was the thing. Okay. It's off. You want to quickly?
Keep talking.
Sure? Okay. Now, here comes the next section. He says like this. Ach atzvus mimile d'shmaya. Now, but if a person is upset, right, he's upset that he did averus. He's upset, he's feeling sad from heavenly challenges, spiritual challenges. He did something wrong. He did an avera. He insulted someone. He got angry. I don't know, whatever it was. Right? Whatever avera the person did, he's now feeling guilty. So he says, "Sarich loshis eitzois benafshoi." You have to really strategize lipoter mimeno to get rid of it. That sadness. Now, let's just break that down. Why? So first of all, the strategy that he talked about, sadness from physical material challenges, is not going to work here. Why? Because there the point was that the challenge is really good. It's toiv hanelam, it's a hidden good. You can't say that with spiritual things, because it isn't good. I did something wrong. I did something against Hashem's will. That's not good, that's klipa. Yeah, they're working, it's okay. Yeah. Right? So therefore, that's not going to work. That strategy of contemplating that really Hashem is hugging us, really is giving us a connection from a deeper place and hidden good and alma discussi and all these things we talked about last week, it's not going to work here, number one. Number two, we also have to understand what he's asking here, because give me 1 second, because there was an explanation and I want to know where it comes in. Okay, because the Alter Rebbe did say in the beginning, when he said that we can't be sad, he did quote a pasuk from Mishle that said, "B'chol eitz aviyah Moshe," there is benefit in sadness, right? Because the broken heart that he talked about is a good thing. In other words, feeling discomfort and feeling in pain from having gone against Hashem is actually a good thing. In fact, not only it's a good thing, it's a necessary component. because that's the only way you can form of tshuva. You can't grow if you're not feeling comfortable. But it's even deeper than that on a spiritual level. It's the way to break the clipper. When you do an avera, we create a barrier between us and Hashem. We create certain impurity. Every avera has consequences, spiritual consequences, a stain on the soul, a tumor that in turn leads to more problems because it blocks up our heart. In other words, it spiritually clogs us, clogs the system. So in order to break that, the pain that we feel actually does that. It breaks the clipper and it cleanses the impurity and so on and so forth, right? However, he's still saying that we really have to... That's okay. He's still saying we're just starting these two dots over here, right? He's still saying that we have to look for ways to get rid of it. Why? Because the Alter Rebbe said that's true. It's true that it has benefit, right? And we'll see. But he said it's only if it's, first of all, it has to be genuine. And we'll see what that means. Actually, the genuine definition is actually quite deep, actually. As to really, it's not about anything else, but it's about the fact that he was distant from Hashem, right? And second of all, it's only at certain times in a very controlled way, okay? Which we'll talk about more soon. But the bottom line is, but if it comes to you suddenly, it's not good. It's got to be in a controlled way. He'll talk about it in more detail soon. So that's why he starts off by saying, number one, you have to be with simcha. Number two, you have to therefore strategize how to get rid of sadness or pain, which comes from spiritual challenges. And you can't use the previous strategy because it's different. The previous strategy was that the pain is actually good. In other words, the cause of the pain is actually good. The suffering is good. It's coming from a higher place. Here you can't do that. The suffering is from avarice, and therefore that's not good. Okay. So he says like this, Ein sarich loymar, for sure you have to get rid of it. B'shas havoide. Let's say a person's davening, serving Hashem, right? He's doing something directly involved with a mitzvah. Either learning Torah, doing a mitzvah, he's davening, he's learning, giving tzedakah, whatever the case is. And suddenly he gets this wave of sadness from the averus that he did yesterday, right? So for sure that's not good. You have to get rid of that. Why? Because right now you're serving Hashem directly. And we know shatzarich lavad Hashem b'simcha v'tuv levav. You have to serve Hashem with simcha. It's not going to work. So it's definitely not the time for this now, right? Okay. Ella. However, he says we really need to understand. Afilu mishehu bo balasokim ederech eretz. But even someone who's in business, for example, and right now he's doing something fairly mundane. Okay, it could be he's doing it for the sake of Hashem and all that, but he's not involved in avoidas Hashem, right? Im noifel lo eitzer v'daga memile de alma memile de shmaya b'shas asoko. If he suddenly gets a sadness or an anxiety from a spiritual challenge or a spiritual deficiency while he's doing the business, he should know b'yodua shu tachbulis ayetzer. He should know that it's actually a scheme of the Yetzer Hara. In order to plunge him into further and deeper temptation. Now, there's a lot to break down. Let's go through this slowly. Okay. So why? The question is why? Why is that a problem? Right? Why is that a problem? First of all, when a person is guilty or in pain or sadness, right, that he's done something wrong, not necessarily, it's in other words, altogether. The Alter Rebbe said in the beginning of chapter 26 that there is a concept of genuine sadness, which can be beneficial, right? So he's saying, okay, if it comes when you're serving Hashem, then it's not good, because you have to serve Hashem a simcha. However, if it comes different time, you're doing business. So what's wrong? I feel genuine sadness that yesterday I went against Hashem. So maybe it's a good thing. So the emphasis, first of all, is on genuine sadness. Genuine sadness. What does genuine sadness mean? Not every time a person feels in pain that they went against Hashem, is it a genuine sadness? Because not always it comes because of God. Sometimes it comes because of the person. In other words, there's a certain ego there. In other words, I want to be perfect. I want to serve Hashem in the correct way, right? And now I'm upset that I messed up. Now, if a person has, he wants to live a life of meaning, of purpose, of goodness, that's a very good thing. And for an average person, it's good. It's the Viktor Frankl stuff. That's good. But actually, it's not really complete surrender to Hashem, and it's not real Avodas Hashem either. It's, I've worked it out that I want to serve, I want to live a life like that. I want to live a life where I don't talk Lashon Hara, and I don't get angry, and I keep Shabbos, and I keep Kashrut, all these things, right? Now I feel upset that I messed up, right? That's actually not a genuine sadness. That's a very important thing. It's a very deep thing. So I want to just break it down a little bit. I was going to say something, I just forgot. Give me 1 second. There's a thing they used to say by Chassidim, there was a word that if someone, and this is why later on he'll say it has to be in a controlled way. He says, there's two explanations why it's not a genuine sadness. This is one, right? So Chassidim, there was a famous word that a person could do a very, very serious avera one day, could do a very, very bad thing, and nevertheless, the next day you can daven with simcha and proper and avas Hashem, you can do proper davening. How's that possible? Because the answer is like this. Why are you serving Hashem? Right? Every day there's a mitzvah. You get up in the morning, there's a few mitzvahs. I've got to get snagavasa, I've got to say moed anya, I've got to daven, whatever. The mitzvahs that we do every day, right? Why are we doing that? Because I want to be a good person? Or because I want to be serving Hashem? Right? If it's because I want to be a good person and now I messed up yesterday, so I understand, that's why I'm sad, and that's why I found it hard to daven today, because I'm still so dirty and feeling so guilty from yesterday's avera, right? It's because you say, but it's not about you. It's about serving Hashem. Hashem wants you daven today, so daven. He wants you daven b'simcha, with kavana, with full focus, do that. Yesterday did an avera, okay, so take care of it. When you need to take care of it, and how you need to take care of it, you'll take care of it. It's like a terrible thing. You have to do a big tshuva for it. All true. What's going to do with now? Now Hashem wants you to daven. I thought about this past week. I never thought about this part of the parasha properly. In last week's parasha, it's a section that not a lot of people talk about. We all know the story of the Meraglim. They went and they said bad about Eretz Yisrael, right? And then Hashem got really angry with them because they panicked and they didn't have a munna and so on. And they were very upset. The Yidden were upset that Hashem was angry with them. The next day, says the Pasuk, there was a people called the Ma'apilim. It's a famous little section. Ma'apilim were the people that said, okay, you know what, let's go. Hashem wants to go to Eretz Yisrael, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu says, if he lo sisa, you're not going to be successful, don't go. Hashem said not to go. Hashem said, you're stuck in the Midbar for 40 years. And they went anyway, and they got attacked. And it didn't work, right? What's the pshat? I think it's a little bit this idea as well. You have to do a mitzvah not because you think it's an important thing to do. You have to do a mitzvah because that's the ratzon Hashem. It's nothing to do with you. It's got nothing to do with you. Not because you want to do the ratzon Hashem, because the ratzon Hashem needs to get done and Hashem wants you to do it. That's it. That's the source. Of course, you have to build up a passion and learn about it. That's all secondary. But the foundation is it's got to get done. It needs to be done through you, Hashem told you. So now I wake up the next morning and I want to go to Eretz Yisrael because Hashem doesn't want you to go to Eretz Yisrael now. No, but I know it's an important thing and I want to do it. But again, it's the I want to do it. Why? Because yesterday you found out that Hashem is upset with you now because you didn't go in the first place. You didn't have a moon in the first place. Oh, so I'm going to go now. No, Hashem doesn't want you to go now. And it's not about you. Yesterday was the Ratzon Hashem. Today it isn't the Ratzon Hashem. Finish. End of story. It's that same thing. So that's the word. Oh, yes, I know what I want to tell you. So they also, my father-in-law always used to say this over. That Chassidim used to say that there was, I think it was Aristotle, if I'm not mistaken. If I've got the story right. There was one big philosopher who didn't believe in God at the end of it. No, he did believe in God in a culture where he came to believe in God and a culture where it was a very, very strong pagan worship. And then he got killed for it. Was that Aristotle or was that Plato? I don't remember which one it was. Anyway, one of them. Whatever. So the story that he used to say is like this. That he came up in heaven, and they were very, thank you for dying on Monday, right? So he said he wants a place in Gan Eden next to Avraham Avinu. Why? Avraham Avinu gave up, he went to Mesiras Nefesh, he gave up his son for the Akedah. And I also went to Mesiras Nefesh, I got killed for belief in Hashem, right? So I told him, you and Avraham Avinu have no connection to each other. Why? I told him that Avraham Avinu, he gave up his life to serve Hashem, or gave up his son to serve Hashem. You have Mesiras Nefesh, whatever the case is, right? You just replaced one temptation for another. What does that mean? Avraham Avinu, we know, reached a very high level of emunah. When it came to the Akedah, it actually made no sense whatsoever. In fact, it went against everything that he stood for. He lived his life gearing up for monotheism and teaching monotheism, and he had a successful Kiruv center, and he was Makar of all the people there. What would have happened if Avraham Avinu would have killed his son in the Akedah? It would be business over, bankrupt. Everyone would have said, that's what you've been teaching us, what to kill you. So that's what you've been trying to influence us. That would be terrible. It made no sense. It didn't make any sense in terms of the overall mission of teaching monotheism. It made no sense. And Avraham Avinu said, he gives us the morning, let's go do it. Why? Hashem said so. That's all. Finish. End of story. It didn't fit the narrative of his perfection at all. But Avraham Avinu was so bottled, so surrendered to Hashem, that it wasn't about him. It was about Hashem. Hashem says, do akedah. Right. This philosopher, Taka, very nice, Shkoyach, instead of serving idols, he served Hashem. Why? Because he worked it out. The best life that he can lead is serving Hashem. That's a very big thing, not going to be wrong, right? But it's not Avraham Avinu. That's what he's saying. So therefore, like this, if a person comes to a sadness, he gets suddenly a pain. So where's it coming from? So if it's coming from because he's upset about his perfection, that he's missing something, that's not even the genuine sadness that Alter Rebbe spoke about before from the Pasuk in Mishle, that's not what it is. Because it's about him, right? Number one. Number two, Alter Rebbe says another point. We know that if it's not genuine, there's another problem. The other problem is, you could say like this, okay, listen, he's not serving Hashem, he's doing business, he's in the middle of the day, he's eating, and suddenly he feels very, very bad. Okay, so what's so bad about that? Maybe what will happen is, maybe Taka's not genuine. Okay, so first it's not genuine. But how about, it's not genuine, so what? But maybe he'll do tshuva, he'll improve. Right? So his Alter Rebbe is not going to work. Why? Because it's actually a tactic from the Yetzer Hara. One of the things the Yetzer Hara does, and that's why one has to be very careful, what type of guilt it is. One of the things the Yetzer Hara does is when a person does something mildly wrong or slightly wrong, he induces a lot of guilt. What happens when a person feels guilty? He's unhappy. Or he has no pleasure. He's like feeling ugh, right? I mean, this is a famous thing. What do people do, for example? So they seek pleasure somewhere. That's why people eat a lot when they're feeling down, right? Why? Because when a person is upbeat and he's happy, he's okay. So hasn't got a deficiency, so he's okay. He has no need to plunge himself into other temptations of material pleasure. When a person is feeling down and feeling in pain, often what it is, it's just a tactic of the Yetzer Hara to spiral him more into spiritual deficiency. Either tivus, either temptation, or even averis, more serious averis, right? The Gemara says, why? Because the person thinks to themselves, it's not worth it. In other words, I messed up anyway. Again, it's coming from the same point. If it's about me and now I messed up, so you messed up anyway, so you know what, I might as well give the whole thing up. Now the Gemara Chagiga tells us a very famous story about Acher. We've talked about him before, about the person who went off the derech and he became a thing, right? And then he heard he was contemplating doing tshuva, and because he'd done something quite bad, he heard a baskel, he heard a heavenly voice saying that everyone can do tshuva except for Acher, right? So he said like this, he said, "Hoyil v'itri lahu gavra mahu alma," because anyways, I've been chased away from the world to come, so I might as well go and enjoy the world. In other words, there was something wrong with his mitzvahs to begin with. You understand? So therefore, when a person is stam, even if he's not davening, even if he's not involved, if he's involved in Avodas Hashem, so for sure it's wrong. Because it's Hashem is simcha, right? But even if it's not, even if it's in the middle of mundane activities and he gets suddenly this pain and this feeling of sadness for having gone against Hashem, number one, maybe it's not even genuine. It's coming from his, because he wants to be perfect. And two, it's a tactic of the Yetzer Hara. Right? Many Sforim talk about this idea of Yiyush, giving up hope. And also, giving up hope is the worst Yetzer Hara that's possible. And often the tactic of the Yetzer Hara is he gets you to stumble in something minor and then makes you feel bad, so you should stumble in something major. Right? Okay. As we say, Biyodua, it's known, Shutachbula Sayyetzer, it's just the tactic of the Yetzer Hara, Kedela Pilo, in order to lure him, in other words, in Taivus, Chas V'Shalom, in other temptations, as it's well known. Now, what's the proof that it's like that? What's the proof? It says, Shim Loike, because if not, how does he get this feeling of guilt all of a sudden in the middle of his business? All of a sudden he feels very guilty about something. How does that happen? But he puts in a word in the Alter Rebbe. He says, how does he get true sadness, which comes from a love of Hashem or fear of Hashem, in the middle of his business? Oh, so now what's happening is like this. The Alter Rebbe is giving us a hint of what true sadness is about, which also isn't a good thing all the time. And we'll see when you do it, and it's got to be controlled, and so on. Genuine sadness from having gone against Hashem doesn't actually come just from doing an aver. You actually have to make a cheshbon, you have to contemplate. You have to remember the love of Hashem that you have to him and he has to you. You have to remember the fear of Hashem, you have to misboinen, you have to reflect on the, right? Part of the whole process of tshuva is actually hisboninus. It's a real reflection of what did I do? I love Hashem and my neshama really intrinsically loves Hashem, like we learned before in Perek Yitches. We have the hidden love of Hashem. I would never do Avodah Zarah, right? All that stuff that the Alter Rebbe talks about before. And because I did an Avodah, really, I distanced myself from Hashem. And through that reflection, that process, you give birth to pain. Yes, you give birth to pain and upsetness having gone against Hashem. That is genuine pain, right? But when a stump just flies into your head in the middle of doing something, where does it come from? The Yetzer Hara. Because genuine pain from doing an Avodah must, from a heavenly challenge, in other words, must come from a focused processing. You've got to process it intellectually. If it just flies into your head, oh, I didn't know that, I got angry yesterday, so, where's it coming from? Who's pushing you to be in pain? That's the answer.
Also, intent.
Meaning?
You have to have
an
intention.
To be exactly, right. So you could say, why after intention? I did something, so I'm feeling upset about it. He says, no, because what's inducing that, because you didn't have the intention, like you're saying. You didn't reflect on it, so therefore it can't be coming from the Nefesh HaLegis. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, sadness mimila deshmaya, sadness that comes from heavenly issues, right? Whether it's in the middle of Avodas Hashem or it's not, is not good. It's not genuine sadness. It's coming as a tactic that it's a horror, or it's coming also, which is connected to the fact that it's coming from your own ego, just because you're not perfect, so therefore that's why you're feeling bad, and therefore that will just come to giving it up altogether. That's all not good. So therefore he says, "Hine, bein shenafla loya atzvos b'shas avayin." So therefore, whether the sadness or pain comes when he's serving Hashem b'talmud Torah, when he's learning Torah, oy b'tfilo is davening, ubein shenafla loya b'shas avayin. Whether it's coming to him not when he's serving Hashem, in the middle of business or eating or sleeping, whatever the case is, right? So what am I going to do about it? I've just been taught now that it's not good. What am I going to do about it? Zois yosi meliboy. This is what you have to do. What do you have to do? You have to just say to yourself, Ein hazman gromo ka'es l'atzvos amitis. It is not the time now for genuine pain. Afilu ledaigis avoynes chamurim chas v'shalom. Even for very severe averus, even if there's something really terrible, this is not the time to feel bad about it. Right? Now, it's interesting to say, that's the strategy, which is completely opposite of the strategy we learned before. Look, before, we didn't say, get rid of the sadness. We said, no, think about it, reframe it. Learn the Gemara, and understand that when you get a challenge, it's really toiv, it's really good, because it's the same bracha for bad and for good. All the stuff we learned before, that deep explanation is coming from a higher world, and all that kind of stuff, right? Here, it's not a genuine sadness anyway, so therefore, and the cause of the sadness is bad, so you can't reframe anything. The sadness is bad. The cause is correct because you did something really wrong, but the sadness now is out of place. It's coming from the wrong place, coming from Nefesh HaBamis, and it's going to lead you to worse things. And therefore, the only way is to dismiss it. To dismiss it. So it's not the time now. It will be a time, but not now. Right? Again, it goes back to this concept before. It's an amazing thing. In other words, it goes back to this concept. The Torah mitzvah is not about me. It's about a bittul surrender to Hashem. So it's not the time now. Goodbye. I'm busy serving Hashem. Either there's a necessity to tshuva, true, and the necessity to feel that pain to destroy the klipa, to the impurity. I'll take care of that. But right now, I'm serving Hashem. How do you do that? You have to dismiss it and get on with what you're doing. And I say get on with what you're doing because dismissing something is never going to work unless it's replaced with something else, right? It's what the Rebbe talks about in many letters, and Tanya talks about before, that in general, when you have bad thoughts, whatever, you have to dismiss them and push them away. But of course, that's called Hesach Hadas. It's pivoting away from the thing in order to not even think about it, dismissing it, but you can't just dismiss a thought because we're thinking the whole time. It means divert your attention to something else. In this case, divert your attention to what you're doing. You're doing business, do business. If you're doing davening, do davening. Right? Do what you're supposed to do, what your mission on earth is. Obviously, you're not doing business for an avera, you're doing business for the right reason, you're doing it in a kosher way, and so on and so forth. So do it. Just get on with it. Dismiss the thought, this is not the time. Why? Because what I am doing is part of serving Hashem, even in business. It's ultimately part of what Hashem wants from me, if I'm doing it correctly, for the right intention. And when I'm feeling pain, that's not right, and that's not coming from a good place, and therefore goodbye, and I just do it, right? So what am I going to do? You have to say to your sadness, say to your pain, it's not the time now. Rak lezois, for this genuine pain, tzoruch kvius itim v'shasa kosher, you need a set time, you need an appropriate time. B'yushuv hadas, with calmness, with focus, and like you say, with intention, right? In other words, in order to make sure that it's coming from the right place, it's a very, very phenomenal formula. This pain and guilt is for Averis is actually a good thing. But if it comes automatically, it's not a good thing. It's something you have to be in control of and you have to do it. You have to induce it at the right time. How? You have to reflect on the greatness of Hashem. You have to reflect, who is it that you went against? Right? Ashechotela, that you sinned to him. Kedei shalidei zeh, in order that through this reflection, that you controlling and you're designating time for, yiyeh liboy nishpar be'emes, that your heart will actually become broken, b'merirus amiti, with true bitterness, and suddenly use a different word, which is going to come back to later in Tanya. He says, not really sadness, it's merirus. It's a sense of urgency. Sadness is despair. Despair is what comes automatically. Right? Because despair comes from you. It's your own insecurities, your own sadness. It comes from your own ego. Therefore, your ego was punctured or deflated, so you start despairing. I give up. This is something I'm intentionally doing, so I want to do tshuva. You induce pain, real pain, genuine pain, at the right time. But it actually doesn't lead to atzvus, it leads to merirus, right? In other words, I don't want to be like this. I want to fix this. I want to reconnect to Hashem. I realize I've made myself distant from Hashem, so I want to connect. I want to reconnect to Hashem, and so on and so forth, right? I've told you this story many times. There was a chassid. His name is Reb Chacha Fagin. He was a very, very big chassid before the war. He was actually killed in the war. And he, under real communist regime over there in Russia, he was farbrenging once in a hidden place in a cellar with Bokrim, and he was really good. He was a good mentor, and they were singing the good name, and he was being arousing them, Avodas Hashem, and they started to cry a little bit, which apparently was good crying. In other words, it seemed genuine. Suddenly they felt a noise, right? A noise. And they thought it was the KGB coming. So they were trained in this already. Very quickly, they hid all the evidence, and they, I don't know, brought out some cards, and they made it as if they were just going together to play around or something like that. Anyway, it turned out it wasn't a KGB, it was a cat making some noise. So, okay, so danger over. It was a false alarm. And they now put back, they brought out the cake again, and the mzoinis, the mashka, I don't know exactly. And they got together and they wanted to recreate this atmosphere of the Fabrenian. And when they started to do this, Chaim Shvein gave him a whole telling off. He said, nah, this is not the way it works, he says. When it came to, we're talking about a deficiency in Avodas Hashem, so you're crying. When it came, when you thought there was a threat, you did something about it. Okay, let's bring out a point. They were very, obviously it was genuine, but let's bring out a point. The point is that Merirus, yeah, there is a place to feel pain, but it's about positive pain. It's bitterness, not sadness. It's not despair. It's about, it's very painful. Now, what am I going to do about it? Right? Okay, Mavur, Ace, oh, so this has to be at a particular time. Now, which time should it be? If that's the case, right, which time should it be? And this time is explained in other places later on in Alter Rebbe, in the Geirat Hatshuva. So in some places it says that the time to do this is Tikkun Chatzos, which we don't do nowadays, which is midnight. Because even though midnight really, I think we've mentioned Tikkun Chatzos before, even though midnight is a time that some tzaddikim used to get up in the middle of the night to cry about the Beis Hamikdash, about the Golus of Hashem, Hashem's in Golus, says that result is also a time to reflect on your own goals. In other words, where Hashem is in goals within your own base of Mikdash, you've done the wrong thing. Okay, nowadays we don't do it. So there are other places it says bedtime Shema is a good time to do this. Not every night, but once in a while. Before Rosh Chodesh, Thursday night, whatever. Elul, Yom Kippur, these kind of designated times. So that's the only time it could be genuine sadness. Even the genuine sadness we said before is beneficial, as the Mishlei says. First of all, it's a means to an end. The end is Simcha. But it's a process, it's a good thing because it brings you to real tshuva, and also it dismantles and smashes the klipa and the impurity. But it has to be focused with your intention. You have to control it at a certain time with the proper reflection, which is designated times, and that's it. And then he says, with that the sham nisbair gamke. What's a sign of this? That it's not to spin, actually it's really genuine sadness. The shaman over there in Igeres HaTshuva, where he says what the designated times are, he says, Mizbar Gamken, it's also explained, Ki miyad acher shenishpoi liboi be'itim kvuyim ahem. Even when your heart is broken, in those small designated time windows, right? When you finish doing that, azai yasiro eitzim liboi legamri. Then you have to say goodbye to the sadness. I have to say no. Why? Because ve'yamin emuno shlema ki Hashem hevri chatosim. You have to believe with complete emunah that Hashem has wiped away your sin. If you've come broken from it and you're genuinely sorry, Hashem has forgiven you. As we say in the pasuk, v'rav lisloach, Hashem forgives abundantly, and explains in Tanya and later on in Igeres HaTshuva, what does it mean that Hashem abundantly forgives? It means that by a king of flesh and blood, if you do something wrong and you're asking forgiveness, he'll forgive you. You do it a second time, he might forgive you. But you start doing it 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 times, he's going to stop forgiving you. Hashem is not like that. We say every day in Amidah, Chanun hamarbe lisloach. Hashem abundantly forgives. Even, doesn't matter how many times you've done it and you failed, he knows you're a human being. You didn't intentionally do it, you made a mistake, your Yetzirah got in the way, whatever the case is, but you do tshuva. That's how we do tshuva every single year, every single day, really. And we believe that Hashem really, really forgives. Again, it's coming from the same point, because who's it about? Me or Hashem, right? If it's about that I went against the Ratzon of Hashem, you need to believe in Hashem. It's not about my perfection or my dignity or my completeness or my image. It's not about that. It's about Hashem. So you have to believe that when you do proper tshuva, Hashem completely forgives you. Zuya simcha amitis. And this is the true simcha. But Hashem, the true real joy you have with Hashem, habo achara eitzer, that comes after the sadness. So in other words, when you have genuine simcha, genuine sadness, it can't be just come automatically. It can't come in the middle of you serving Hashem for sure. It can't even come in the middle of you doing other things. You've got to have a designated time to do it properly, and then because you're in control of it and you've designated the time and it's intentional and it's with the reflection of Hashem's greatness and so on and so forth, you now believe in Hashem. Okay, I've done it. He's forgiven me. I've resolved to make it better. He's forgiven me properly. Now, pure simple. You say goodbye to the thing and it's pure simple. Yeah, okay. Next parak, we'll stop here, but no, we're not going to stop here. I want to take something else, but yeah. So that's very, very important. We do our best and we believe that Hashem absolutely forgives. In the shiur I was listening to on this chapter just this morning or yesterday, from Rabbi Yoel Kahn, who's a great chassid. He says that's all part of the Yetzirah. All part of the Yetzirah is when we think, okay, I did do tshuva, but Hashem didn't. I'm not sure if it was genuine, so I'm not sure if Hashem forgive me. That's not coming from your neshama, that's coming from the Yetzirah, that's coming from my own ego. So once we do tshuva for a few minutes, we feel bad, we reflect, why did I do it, what did I do, I'm going to make it better, and that's it. And only simcha. Otherwise, it means that our sadness wasn't genuine. Otherwise, it's about us. We have to just believe we do our best, a person's a human being, and we have to believe that Hashem forgives. I've told you many times, the Kotzker Rebbe had this beautiful word after Yom Kippur. Right after Yom Kippur, you know, we start Ma'ariv right away, right? And Ma'ariv starts with V'hu rachum yichaper ovin, that Hashem will atone for all sins. He says, I don't understand. You haven't had time to do anything yet. You've been completely forgiven Yom Kippur, we know that. You say Shema Yisrael, you say Kaddish, Ne'ilah gets, you close the Oren Kaddish, I'm sorry Hashem, you atone for my sins. I don't have sins. Give me 10 minutes, maybe I'll have a sin, but now I don't have any, right? Says the God said, the only sin you can have after Yom Kippur is that you don't believe that Hashem properly forgave you. That's why we have to, this is something very important, we have to really believe. And the Alter Rebbe says that also when we say in Amidah, you know, we say in Amidah every day, we say that Hashem is Hamar Belislach, He abundantly forgives. We make a bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, right? We make a bracha that Hashem forgives. Baruch Atah Hashem, Chanun Hamar Belislach. And on Kippur, we make a longer bracha like that. She says, so for sure it happened. Hashem, they wouldn't, the people who made davening wouldn't allow us to say a bracha if it wasn't true, because then it could be another avera, it could be making a bracha in vain. So the fact that we make a bracha, we say Baruch Atah Hashem, we use Hashem's name, that He abundantly forgives, means that He absolutely abundantly forgives. Otherwise, how can we make a bracha like that? If we're not sure, how can we make a bracha? We make a bracha because we know that Hashem forgives. And the rest has to be only simcha. So even a little bit of genuine sadness, that's only in this way, in this designated time, and then it's got to be followed by the main thing, we're serving Hashem with great joy. I want to spend 10 minutes, so that's the end of the parak, once that we'll start the next parak next week, because next parak he talks about a different type of pain, different type of guilt, actually. But it's not he's upset that he did something wrong, he's upset, how come he had an inappropriate thought? You know, like suddenly I feel like jealous of someone, and then I beat myself up. How could I have had that thought? Okay, so that we'll deal with next week. But I thought just because it's Gimel Tammuz this Sunday, I want to share with you an idea that the Rebbe once spoke about on Gimel Tammuz, but there was a different Gimel Tammuz. It was Gimel Tammuz before Gimel Tammuz. Gimel Tammuz in the Hasidic calendar is always a special day, at least in the last generation, because the previous Rebbe, we know, was imprisoned in Russia and was very serious for spreading Yiddishkeit. And what happened was that eventually, miraculously, through all kinds of intervention, he was saved. But initially, what happened was he was saved. He was let out of prison. There was a danger. There wasn't actually danger. There was a decision that we're going to give him the death penalty, and then it was revoked. And as long as he remained in prison, there was always a chance of that coming back. And then he was let out of prison on the 3rd of Tammuz, Gimel Tammuz. But he was sent into exile in a far place called Kastroma. He was supposed to be there for 12 years, then 3 years. And at the end, 10 days later, he was released on the 12th of Tammuz. That's why 12th Tammuz is one of the Hasidic Chagim, so to speak. But the 3rd of Tammuz was the beginning of the redemption, so to speak, the beginning of his release. And the Rebbe would often talk about it. So one of the Sikhas, the last one that the Rebbe spoke about in 1991, 1992 is really after the stroke, but 1991, the Rebbe spoke about, it was a Shabbos, and he spoke about Gimel Tammuz, and he said an idea, also to do with last week's Parsha, about, that is very typical of the Rebbe, and also really resembles the Rebbe's mission, and the whole, it's very connected to real Gimel Tammuz, always Gimel Tammuz that we can remember. And the question was like this, we learned in last week's Parsha, so it's two questions, which have one answer. We learn in last week's parasha like this, that after the story, sorry, this is coming week's parasha, I'm sorry, this is coming week's parasha, story of Korach, right? We learn that Korach challenged the priesthood of Aaron HaKohen, if he was one to be the Kohen Gadol, but he wanted to be the Kohen Gadol, whatever the case was, and then he was swallowed up in the earth, and Hashem said the next day, I want you to make a sign for all the Yidden that Aaron is the chosen Kohen. So the Chumash tells us what they're supposed to do. Each tribe had to give the, you know, the leader of each tribe had like a stick, a staff or whatever. They had to take a staff from each tribe, and then Aaron would give his stick, he also had a stick, and they put them in the Mishkan, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, overnight, and then see what happens. The next day, all the sticks were taken out. All the sticks were regular the way they were yesterday, but Aaron's stick had almonds on them. Okay, whatever the symbolism of that is, and why almonds, whatever, but it was had grown almonds, and that showed that he was a Kohen, and he was the chosen one, etc. But if you look carefully in the Pesukim, it says, not that just almonds were there. It was a miracle, obviously, right? But the miracle was a different miracle. The miracle was, it takes 21 days for almond to grow. In fact, one of the fastest growing fruits. The miracle was, it actually grew, the stick grew almonds. It grew almonds. It went through the whole process of the growth of almonds, which is, it had flowers and blossomed into buds, into flowers, and it grew almonds, and that was the mess. Whoever says, he asks a question, very simple, like, it's a very strange thing, because if Hashem made a miracle, so then there's no limits to the miracle. The miracle didn't have to be that it grew almonds, the miracle could have been that there were almonds there. Hashem put almonds on the stick. Why did it have to grow almonds? Right? He asked a similar question with the whole story of the previous Rebbe. The previous Rebbe, I think it's very related to what's going on now as well. The previous Rebbe, his story of his release was miraculous. If you know anything about the communist Russia at that time, they didn't care about anyone or anything. And they killed people left, right, and center if it was against their... they weren't at the time, they weren't worried about being toppled or about being, you know, revolutions. They were very, very powerful. 1927... communism was very, very powerful. And yet, somehow, miraculously, the previous Rebbe was released, but then he had to go into exile, and he went to exile, and it was diminished, and eventually he was completely released, and he was... But still, even then, he had to go out of Russia, because they didn't want him around Russia. So it was a miraculous thing, and it's a Ness. But the same question, if it was a Ness, so why a Ness like that? Hashem just made a Ness. He wanted to make a Ness for the previous Rebbe, he just, boom, finished. End of story. They all disappear, they die, I don't know, whatever. Whatever has to happen to them happens, and he's a free man. So the Rebbe answers it like this. He says, there's different types of miracles. Because there's another miracle that happened on Gimel Tammuz in Tanakh times, Yehoshua. Famous story. It says in the book of Yehoshua, Yehoshua was fighting a war, one of the wars that Yehoshua fought in conquering the land of Israel. And he fought a war that was important to fight, but it was getting the end of the day, and it was about to come dark, and it would be hard to fight at night. Nowadays, obviously, right? Nowadays, Dafka fight at night, but it was hard to fight at night. So Yeshua turned to the sun and he said, "Shemesh begivoin doim." The sun in Givoin should stay still. And that's what happened. The sun didn't set, and it continued on, and he finished the war. So the Rebbe explains the miracle. It says there are two ways to explain the miracle. Either the world continued with all its galaxies and planets that continue the way it normally does, just the sun continued to he says, no, the Pshat's not like that. Pshat is actually the sun, the nature changed. In other words, the whole cycle of the sun altered us. It was a big miracle. Normally it's supposed to set at 6:30, and the process of all the planets and the orbits and everything like that. It said an hour later, 2 hours later, whatever the case is. Amazing miracle. Says so the same question. If Hashem wanted to do a miracle, let's just finish the war right now. Enemies could have just fled if you wanted to make a miracle, right? So the one answer the Rebbe gives for all these things is the following. When you have just outright miracle, a miracle like Kriyas Yamsuf, right? Splitting the Red Sea. There was no nature involved. It was just completely ignored nature. Beautiful miracle, amazing miracle. Yeah? The problem with that is that the nature and the miracle have nothing to do with each other. Right? Nature didn't facilitate the miracle. Nature was pushed away so that a miracle was replaced by a miracle. These other miracles by Aaron is a different type of miracle. It's a miracle, but it's a miracle that miraculously is being facilitated by nature, which in itself is the greatest miracle. In other words, Aaron's stick didn't just have almonds. Aaron's stick presented the natural process of growing almonds. Nature facilitated the miracle. Is that what I'm saying? Same thing with the Friedrich Rebbe. Yes, Hashem could have just said, there's no prison, there's none of this, you're a free man. Miracle. No. The process was a natural process, but miraculous, clearly miraculous. But it was nature facilitating the miracle, and the same thing with the war. The war that Yeshua had to win, nature had to facilitate that war. They won it miraculously, but through nature. So wasn't that just the war's over? No, the war continued, but it was defeated, was won in an absolute miraculous way. So nature facilitated the miracle. What's the death behind this? Death behind this is very simple, because that's a much deeper miracle. When you have something supernatural pushing away something natural, that's because infinity is replacing finiteness. But when the finiteness is facilitating the miracle, the finiteness is changing, which is really the whole point of the world. The point of the world is to let Hashem in this world. There's no point in killing the nature. We have to have some of those miracles too, so we can see the wonders of Hashem. But the point of it is that no, the point of this world is to bring Hashem, who is, transcends nature, miraculous, it's transcendent, it's supernatural, into what? Into nature, not to replace nature, but that nature should facilitate the home of Hashem, right? And that's what he explained. That's why the stick had to grow almonds. That's why the word defined. By the way, it's very interesting. I mean, I think we're seeing something very similar now, right? There's no, without a question, that there's amazing miracles happening in Israel. But there's a war. with all this, apparently they announced this morning some sort of ceasefire, but right? But there was a war at least. Miraculous? Absolutely. There's been amazing miracles, but there's a war, right? But I think coming to Gimel Tammuz, really this point is an unbelievable point. It's not just about an explanation in the Parsha. It's really the Rebbe's whole mission, because the Rebbe explains in the first Maimon, the Rebbe said, Yud Shvat, when he became the Rebbe, and he referred to us as the seventh generation from the Alter Rebbe. And that's based on a Medrash that when the Shekhinah, when the Divine Presence went away from the world, in the very beginning of creation, there were seven miracles, or seven Averis, I mean, starting from the first one of Adam and Chava, and then the Enosh and the Mabul, and the right, and they pushed the Divine Presence away. And then the Divine Presence came down slowly, right? Came down. So, came back down, yeah. But through seven Tzaddikim, and Moshe Rabbeinu had Matan Torah, he was the seventh, and he brought down, so came down from the seventh heaven to the sixth heaven, the sixth heaven to the fifth heaven, it goes to all the heavens, and then it came down to this world by the seventh. And the Rebbe sort of connected this to the whole thing of the Alter Rebbe, that we are the seventh generation of the Alter Rebbe. It was a very fascinating event there. My father was actually there when the Rebbe sort of officially took upon himself the leadership, right? On the one hand, he said he's not the Rebbe, he's just like the Rebbe's son-in-law, and okay. But it was very clear, like, it's a new generation, it's a new mission. Because what's the idea? It's like this. The Alter Rebbe, when he made Tanya, also began this process. What is Chassidus? Chassidus is taking something which is transcendent, really. It's about emunah. It's higher than seichel, really. It's a learning which actually is about emunah, really. Emunah transcends seichel, and in bringing it into the human intellect, bringing it into we can understand, right? Now we do something higher than the world, bring it into the world. But it started off by bringing it into the brain of the human being, and then becomes more and more explained, and then other rabbeim brought it down even more and made it more accessible to the masses, and so on and so forth. When it comes to the seventh generation, the Rebbe's generation, which we are still part of, it went to a whole new level. The Rebbe said, now we have to actually go out into the world and bring the real product, the actual essentially authentic product, but now it has to be facilitated by the lowest form of worldly existence. Right? That even a yid is far away, and a yid is somewhere in who knows where. That doesn't, on the surface, have any connection. And it's a world where we go into the hustle and bustle of the cities that are not very compatible with godliness. And there we reveal Hashem. That's the idea of the stick of iron growing blossoms. In other words, now that's the connection. The connection is, that's the fulfillment before Mashiach. That's the ultimate fulfillment of the mission of the world. That the world will start to recognize Hashem's greatness. Not just that it'll replace it, or not just it'll be in the human brain, but it'll be in the world. And that's very much connected with this idea that the Rebbe explains. Okay? Welcome.